Racine, W251 BU Kenosha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Stacey Lynn. The president is proposing a new rule to close the gun show loophole.
The gun show loophole allows those who buy guns online or at gun shows to skip background checks. Those who buy guns through licensed firearms dealers are required to undergo background checks. The new rules would expand the definition of licensed firearms dealers, with an estimated 23,000 unlicensed firearms dealers who would then be required to complete background checks before a sale. The change comes in advance of next week's 25th anniversary of the Columbine High School shooting. The weapons used in that attack were purchased under the gun show loophole. Linda Kenyon, CBS News, the White House.
Inside the Arizona State House,
shame on you! Shame!
Several Democratic lawmakers shouted in outrage after Republicans quickly shut down any discussion on abortion. The state Supreme Court cleared the way earlier this week to enforce a near total ban, a law that dates back to the 1800s. A federal appeals court will hear Arkansas's appeal today on a ban on gender-affirming care for minors that was struck down. Dr. Jack Turbin with the Gender Psychiatry Program at UC San Francisco.
We're definitely seeing these being passed in more and more states. It's particularly surprising because all major medical organizations have come out against these bills.
At least 23 states have enacted bans or restrictions. Lots of damage from a tornado which tore through a New Orleans suburb. Slidell Mayor Greg Cromer called it catastrophic.
Catastrophic, not at the level of Katrina, but these folks that own this business here and this church here, this business over here, and these 50 residents that live in the place behind me, it's catastrophic to them.
Luckily, no one was injured. At the White House last night, the president and first lady hosted the Japanese prime minister and his wife for an official state dinner.
Join me in raising your glasses to our alliance, to our friendship, and in the words of those young students in Japan, to the same future we share. Cheers.
After they feasted on ribeye steak and pistachio cake,
I'm going to Greece.
Paul Simon performed for the guests, which included the Clintons, Jeff Bezos, and Robert De Niro. While they're teeing off at the Masters today, who's going to win the green jacket? ESPN senior golf reporter Mark Schlabach.
While John Rahm's the defending Masters champion, I think Scottie Scheffler's the guy that everybody's chasing. He won a green jacket back in 2022. He's won in two of his last three starts.
The Masters tournament runs through Sunday. It's at the Augusta National Golf Club in Georgia. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Tune in to the Thursday edition of the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. We're counting down to the weekend. We're counting down to the first criminal trial of Donald Trump. Devil's Advocates Radio.
It is going to be cloudy and breezy with scattered showers possible off and on through the day today. We'll get to 53 for a high. The wind north at 15 to 25. Tonight, a few more showers will drop to 44. Tomorrow, clearing, still breezy, 56. The weekend looking a little better with sunshine and highs in the 60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 48.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Todd and his regular guest Trigvi Olsen were out and about with a simple theme. What makes Wisconsin great? For all the divisive topics and politics that we have on his show and on my show, we're doing that because we love living here and we want to talk about the things that make Wisconsin great. And we did that over cheese curds and cold beer last night. Ooh. And I really appreciate Todd doing that.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning, 6 till 8. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Thursday morning on the Earl Ingram Show. Join me for In the Pharmacy with Dr. Omar, only on Civic Media.
Home of the Don Rosen Morning Show, weekdays 6 till 8. 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM WRJN.
Because we know your barn smells like money. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Another highly pathogenic avian influenza outbreak in dairy, this time in the state of North Carolina. Welcome in, everybody. It's the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Youngke greeting you on a Thursday morning. That is a story we're taking a closer look now that we're six deep as far as states that have detected high path avian influenza in their dairy population. Obviously, Wisconsin on high alert. We'll explain all the details as we roll through the morning. Today, the morning looks like it's going to be pretty comfortable. The rest of the day could get a little damp. Cloudy skies this morning and the rain will develop this afternoon. Today's daytime highs, 59 degrees. Winds out of the northeast, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Then, starting tonight, things start to get interesting. The winds start to pick up. The rain will end, but the wind will persist. Tomorrow, we're looking at gusts that could go as high as 40 miles an hour. For Friday, partly cloudy skies, 57 degrees. But again, like I said, the wind is what we're really going to have to focus in on. We'll get you more weather details courtesy of Stu Muck as we roll our way through a Thursday. I've got some good news, and I've got some good news. From Bavaria Sausage, fabulous Farm Babe Pam Youngke here for the crew at the corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitch Runner Road in Fitchburg. Hey, attention, they're expanding their retail hours. You'll have to check in from time to time, but it's good news as we go into the grilling season. The other good news is they're working on new recipes every day behind the scenes. So check back at their retail location, corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitch Runner Road in Fitchburg often, and always keep an eye on what's happening at BavariaSausage.com. That online store open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And as we get into grilling season, if there's something you're looking for, let them know. You can pick up the phone and give them a call, 800-733-6695. That's 800-733-6695. Take a look at all the old world flavors they've got available for you now to put on the grill, and keep an eye out for new flavors coming to the showroom and online soon. BavariaSausage.com.
Well, we're here in the spring and we're getting to planting season. I'm Jill Welke from the northern end of the world's longest barn here in Eau Claire. You might look outside and look at your shrubs and decide, we need to do some replacement. From trees to shrubs, I know of a wholesaler in Northern Family Farms out of Maryland, and Derek All is a partner. How long has that enterprise been nestled in Maryland?
We started in 1955 as a Christmas tree grower, and then in the late 80s, we started growing nursery stock. So we are Wisconsin's largest producer of woody trees and shrubs, and you know, nestled in Little Maryland, Wisconsin, and we are shipping nursery stock all over the greater Midwest. We grow annually about over a million shrubs and trees a year, so it is a ton of plants that we are growing and, you know, shipping out to landscapers, IGC, big box stores, you know, garden centers, you name it, that we'll have our plants this spring.
Well, I want to learn a little bit more about the varieties and what you guys grow. A million plants, that's more fingers and toes than I can come up with.
So we have over 600 SKUs and many, many different. So we're growing everything from perennials, grasses, daylilies, all the way up to, you know, roses, fruit trees, foundation shrubs, evergreens, shade trees, ornamental trees. It's a lot of different SKUs that we have that we offer. So we kind of offer the full mix of woody and perennial items that any garden center might need in the spring.
And what makes the determination on what you're going to grow next? How do you make that determination?
So it's a lot of talking. There's a lot of new genetics and a lot of new brands that are out there. And these brands are really focusing on how do we give, you know, the best wow factor to your garden. And we do first editions, star roses, roses, to really, really many different brands that are looking for just that flower power or a chartreuse color that will stand out in a garden that will really make your foundation plantings or even a specimen in your garden pop, you know, that will make people stop and say, wow, you know, this is a sight to behold. And we want people to have that impressive garden that they're proud of without doing a ton of work. And that's the other part, is the low maintenance part of it. You know, how can we make your home beautiful without requiring a ton of labor in order to make it happen?
And where do you get the information on what consumers are looking for?
You know, a lot of it is, there is some market research that that is out there, but a lot of it is seeing what sells fastest. You know, hydrangeas are very, very popular right now. You get a lot of wow factor in your garden with minimal work. Roses, they are getting more and more disease resistant and easy for the consumer to take care of in their yard. But really the information is sales data, and that's really what we look at. So we kind of follow the sales data and, you know, talk to other growers and breeders about what the trends that they're seeing, and then kind of adjust our production plan from there.
So these shrubs and trees are produced. Do you do any research right there at the farm with what works and what doesn't work?
Yes. So quite honestly, if it doesn't work on our farm, obviously we're not going to sell it to the consumer. So I like to think that we are pretty good growers. And if we are having a hard time with it, then we'll never let it see the light of day at the to the garden center. So we are always looking for the, you know, again, those attributes that are make it easy for the consumer. But we are doing research. We're trialing new plants. We're trialing different ways to grow them. It is, we're constantly innovating in order to stay, you know, relevant to what consumers are looking for in the garden center.
Can you tell me a little bit more about the facility? Are you outdoors? Are you greenhouse? How do you get plants started?
So we do both. We have greenhouses that will run all year. And then also most of our acreage that we're growing on is outdoor production. But the greenhouses, we are growing, you know, more bud and bloom items. We're forcing them to make sure that by Mother's Day, we have, you know, beautiful blooms for the garden center. So we'll do macrophylla hydrangeas in the greenhouses, as well as roses and perennials, just to give that wow factor at Mother's Day to have that beautiful flower that everyone's looking for that time. And then the outdoor growing production is more for those foundation plants, the trees. We have about 400 acres in outdoor growing space. And then I think it's about 6 acres of indoor greenhouse space. So it's a lot, but it's you know, we try and be as conservative as we can with water, using drip irrigation, other irrigation methods to, you know, really be stewards of the environment and, you know, control release fertilizers. So we're not having to constantly dump and leach fertilizers. So we're trying to give just what the plant needs to grow the best that it can.
With that many plants out and about and in close proximity to each other, do you have any challenges with keeping those plants growing or keeping the labor to keep them growing?
It's a challenge. I mean, it's definitely farming. A lot of people like to think, you know, because we have, you know, everything on gravel and, you know, weeds under control and everything that way, that it would be easy. But, you know, when you're growing in close proximity, that many plants together, you're bound to have, you know, flare ups and, you know, whether it be mites or other pests that pop up. So we do have to spray. It is, you know, a part of every agricultural business that, you know, you have to spray for insects, you have to spray for weeds. It is challenging, but with that, when you're growing that many of something, it is easier to kind of take care of everything when you're looking at large blocks and other things that way. And again, water, you know, we want to be stewards of the water. So coming up with the best practices that we can within reason to reduce our water usage and be stewards of the land. But weeds are, you know, just like any other farm, weeds are another big item that we spend a lot of time on. There's sadly a lot of hand weeding that goes on at our nursery to make sure that every container is weed free as possible. And then in terms of labor, it's still very, very heavy on hand labor. So we have a lot of local people that help us out with that. And then as well as the H-2A program, we have visa workers from Mexico that come up every year for about 9 months to help us from planting to, you know, general maintenance and care of the plants, and then to putting in a bed every year as well. So it's a lot of steps in order to get a plant to grow into that happy, good-looking plant in the garden center.
And is there going to be another generation that's going to be at Northern Family Farms?
Both my sister and I have the next generation on the way. So I have three little ones, and I'm hoping it'll be the fourth generation at Northern. And Ashley has two little ones as well that we're hoping that at least one of them will be interested in that, in continuing the farming, you know, the generational farming business that we have. And we're excited to see what that future holds.
And providing great quality plants. And remember, this is wholesale, but I'd like to find some of those tags that say Northern Family Farms from Maryland, Wisconsin. And that was Derek All. He's partner at Northern Family Farms. And I'm Jill Welke from the northern end of the world's longest barn here in Eau Claire.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Don Rosen in the morning and your home for the Packers. 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM WRJN.
This is Don Rosen. Come join me for local news, weather, sports, and some good morning fun as well. Weekday morning, 6 to 8 on 1400 AM, 99.9 FM and 98.1 FM. WRJN, hometown radio, refreshed.
Say it with me, the Bucks in six. And you can catch every play, every score, every Milwaukee Bucks game on WRJN 1400 AM 99.9 FM in Racine, your station for the Milwaukee Bucks, your hometown radio refreshed.
Matt Nair on air.
So we're going to talk monarch butterflies and what we can do to help their habitat, because that's one of the biggest reasons why we're seeing our monarch population decrease. As Greg said, we know how much I loved Winged Thingas.
Winged Thingas!
That's the name of our band. Calvin, me, Jane, Winged Thingas.
The Winged Thingas.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
Who do you want making the decisions for your daughters if you're a girl dad? I have two girls, 14 and 12, and I still consider myself pro-life. But here's the thing. I became a conservative because I didn't want government telling me what to do and being intrusive in my life. Mm-hmm. And I'll be damned if I want a bunch of theocrats getting in the middle of my daughter's life.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Thursday on Matt Nair on air. Why is it important that America stays with NATO? Retired Brigadier General Steve Anderson joins us at 10:33. Don't miss it.
Like a grand slam on your radio dial. Home of the Brewers. 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM WRJN.
Dr. Mike Martin explaining the situation.
USDA recommendations at the time were, you know, we do not test any herds that do not have clinical signs. That was that kind of the recommendation. But because Idaho, Ohio, and Michigan all started having cows that had these signs that then tested positive for high path AI, we went ahead and moved forward with testing this herd preemptively, and it has no clinical signs with this disease. And sure enough, we have been able to isolate highly pathogenic avian influenza virus from this herd.
Now, that is kind of part of the challenge. Dr. Mike Martin, he is the state veterinarian in North Carolina. Did you hear what he said? These cows do not present any signs of high path avian influenza, but in a lab workup, they are positive. He said movement from cattle from affected herds in states to North Carolina has been suspended. But he also says he has a lot of questions about high path avian influenza, and he expects to use his staff to try to get more answers.
So you sort of get evidence on maybe high path AI, maybe it's being opportunistic, right? Maybe it has an immunocompromised individual, and then it makes its way in that way. So the question really is, that's still kind of up in the air, is the high path AI a catalyst disease creating the clinical signs that we're seeing in these herds, or is it just a tag along opportunistic? And it could be one or the other. I think the jury's still kind of out on that.
Dr. Mike Martin with North Carolina Department of Ag. He says they're taking a proactive approach in trying to get in front of the disease and the outbreak and try to provide more guidance for other states.
No other state has done what we did in North Carolina, right? Nobody else has done this as far as doing this level of investigation and epidemiology. And we did this against the recommendations that were at the time from USDA. So you know, it's easy to second guess from the back seat. But we are doing everything we can to try to protect our animals here in North Carolina and protect the privacy of any of these farms that you know, may be affected either now or in the future with this disease as it's merging.
Again, Dr. Mike Martin, he is with North Carolina. He's their state veterinarian. So now think about it. Texas, New Mexico, Kansas, Idaho, Michigan, Ohio, and now North Carolina are in the loop as far as high path avian influenza they've detected in their dairy herds. Wisconsin has to be on high alert. Our Department of Agriculture has been communicating with all farms, not just dairy, about high path and its risk. University Extension just kicked out a whole bunch of resources yesterday to try to help refresh people's memory on high path, not only for our bird population, but also our livestock population. And Dr. Martin explains some of the signs that they were looking for when it came to detecting high path.
These high-producing dairy cattle that, one, go off feed, two, start dropping in milk production, and then three, have those changes in the milk that cause the discoloration and thickening. Now, is that because of high path AI? I don't think we have that answer yet, but that's what got us in this place in the meantime. So maybe high path AI is causing those signs. We're definitely following cattle with those signs, absolutely following them. Does it cause no clinical signs? And so far in this herd, we're not seeing any evidence of clinical signs associated with high path AI.
That's crazy. So again, like what he's basically saying is that cows don't look sick, but they do have high path avian influenza. Dr. Mike Martin, and again, correct myself, North Carolina becomes the seventh state now that's had high path avian influenza in their dairy population. So again, Wisconsin farms, you know your biosecurity measures. I also know that in Wisconsin, there's a lot of dairy operations that might have some of their young stock raised outside of the state at calf ranches. Maybe your bred heifers are just coming home. You better think twice about where you're going to put those animals compared to your full milking herd, just in case. Well, my friend Stu Muck, our ag meteorologist, is still nothing but a croaking frog this morning. He has literally got no voice, but he was kind enough to send me some quick weather notes on a Thursday. So he said it was beautiful yesterday, as we all saw, but a couple things that we're going to have to watch. He said there's a weak disturbance dropping into northwest Wisconsin that's going to move east across the state. That is going to be the rain line that we'll see starting in north central Wisconsin this morning and then kind of get stronger and work towards the south this afternoon. Then there will be another system from the south that pulls moisture into Wisconsin, but still pretty much dry over the state. He said he is expecting that as the two systems kind of collide, we'll probably see anywhere in a quarter of an inch, maybe a little bit more in some areas, maybe a little bit of thunder towards the evening, but nothing severe. Sunshine back on Friday. But warmer this weekend. That's where you really want to train your eyes. So again, today, mostly cloudy, light rain developing late in the morning into the afternoon, upper 50s, winds out of the north 5 to 10. Tomorrow, gusty winds. It is, in fact, they're talking gusts up to 40 miles an hour. Breezy, some showers, maybe even an evening thunderstorm tonight. And then Friday, those gusty winds continue. Morning showers in the east, cloudy skies for the rest. Friday's daytime highs probably in the upper 50s, but Saturday sunshine, we should see glorious temperatures that return us in the upper 60s, maybe even low 70s by the time we get done on Sunday. So kind of tie a knot and hang on as far as this afternoon and tomorrow, especially as those winds pick up. If we see any rain that's really measurable, I hope you rainfall reporters will help me out. The talk text line for that information, 877-301-FARM, 877-301-3276. And I sure hope that Stu Muck has a nice little recovery so he can bring us the Friday forecast, because I'm not much of a weather person, as you probably have discovered. More farm news on the way. Stick around.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Your home for the Bucks, 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
Get ready for a triple play of selection, service, and convenience with Studebaker's in Racine. Around the horn we go, from refreshing sips to snack sensations. Studebaker's great selection is the fuel to keep you going. Great service is a game changer, and the team is ready to knock it out of the park for you. In our store, or sliding into Studebaker's convenient drive-thru, where fast meets fantastic. Swing by Studebaker's Field and Food at 31 and Spring in Racine for the winning team of selection, service, and convenience.
When it comes to Wisconsin sports, WRJN has you covered. All this season, WRJN is pleased to be your new home for the Milwaukee Brewers. Hear all the games home and away on WRJN. Of course, we'll follow the Bucks through the playoffs and bring you Badgers and Packers when those seasons start. WRJN is also home to one of our state's top sports reporters, Mike Clemens, with his reports every hour, now sponsored by Pottawatomie Casino Hotel. Learn more at paysbig.com. Pottawatomie Casino Hotel and WRJN, great partners for hometown sports.
A fourth-generation family-owned business is running strong thanks in part to Wisconsin cheese. Dufek Wood Products calls Denmark home and has been based in Northeast Wisconsin for close to 120 years. It's best known for manufacturing boxes, which are food-safe to age and ship wheels of cheese and can be reused. But another Dufek Wood product is getting attention thanks to the Guinness Book of World Records. Do you think it's the family's wine boxes, organic garden mulch, or charcuterie boards? The answer coming up. Winter logging for summer building supplies is how the Dufek started. Manufacturing shifted by 1912 to other wood products, especially those cheese boxes. So did you guess which wood product is getting attention from the Guinness Book of World Records? It's the Dufek's charcuterie boards, with one recently named the largest ever, holding more than 760 pounds of gourmet cheese. That's one huge slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
I always wanted to be taller. All I wanted to do all day is play basketball. And I remember this guy from the team came in, and he was having a bad day. And he looks at, we're just playing a pickup game, and he goes, "Hey, guys, can I get a dunk?" Somebody throws him the ball. He runs and powers it down, and I'm like, how cool after a bad day to be able to throw a dunk down. Like, you don't get the same satisfaction with launching an angry two-handed set shot, you know?
Nightline with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Until now, those who buy guns online or at gun shows were able to skip background checks. But CBS's Bo Erickson reports the Biden administration is taking steps to close the gun show loophole.
A senior Justice Department official estimated about 23,000 unlicensed firearms dealers will now have to complete background checks when selling firearms.
Things got heated in the Arizona State House yesterday. When Republicans refused to discuss the near-total abortion ban, Democrats were quickly cut off. The Masters tees off today at Augusta National. ESPN senior golf reporter Mark Schlabach.
I think there may be about a dozen guys that could have a chance to win. Certainly Rahm, the defending champion. The question is, you know, is he going to have some rust playing in LIV Golf? He's only had five starts before this one.
Besides the green jacket, the winner also gets $3.2 million. CBS News Brief. I'm Stacy Lynn.
7 Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Communities around Wisconsin have more than doubled their property tax revaluation since 2020, Forward Analytics says local governments want to make sure property owners aren't underpaying their share in taxes if the market value on their homes is soaring while their assessed value stays flat. New worker safety regulations may have unintended consequences. The federal government now requires long-haul truckers to log their hours on wireless devices, but that could expose millions of trucks to hackers.
Those systems that never used to be connected to the internet or have any like wireless connections, they are becoming more and more connected, and that can introduce vulnerabilities.
Jake Jepson is the co-author of a study that shows how hackers can manipulate trucks remotely. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
The Packers will play in Brazil. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The NFL made the announcement yesterday. It's the Packers and the Eagles for the first NFL game ever in Brazil. They'll play Friday night, September 1st, in a soccer stadium that once hosted the World Cup. I caught up with Packers president Mark Murphy on the tailgate tour in Beloit today, who says he has some concerns.
You know, it is a long trip. It's about a 12-hour flight, and just kind of working through some of the logistics for the league. But I'm confident things will work out with the league.
Baseball, despite some showers in Cincinnati, the Brewers had a steady flow of hits to beat the Reds 7-2. NBA, Giannis will be out for the next several weeks, but the Bucks last night beat the Magic 117-99. Doc Rivers asked this after the game.
What is it about that Bobby Portis, Pat Beverly duo that injects so much energy into the team?
They're both nuts, you know, in a very good way.
That's the Bucks head coach Doc Rivers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Thursday on Nightlight, I welcome Ed the Diver. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabba from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
It is going to be cloudy and breezy with scattered showers possible off and on through the day today. We'll get to 53 for a high. The wind north at 15 to 25. Tonight, a few more showers will drop to 44. Tomorrow, clearing, still breezy, 56. The weekend looking a little better with sunshine and highs in the 60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 48.
Let's get back to live music in the lair with Kaylin Cole. The next song you have for us tonight is called 1103. Yes. Is that a time or a flight number?
Oh, that's actually really good. That's a good idea. I think I might have to write another song with that. You'll get 50%.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at MaxIncRadio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your forecast for you and your community. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. We love Wisconsin weather and tracking it to keep you updated whenever it changes. Listen for our weather-ready stories so you're always prepared on your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matt and Air on Air with Jane Matt and Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on 99.9 and 98.1 FM and 1400 AM WRJN and on the Civic Media app.
How was your drive to school?
Let me tell you, I had to get my iced coffee first. I just can't seem to put it down. My favorite rapper just announced a tour. My phone was buzzing like crazy. I'm so excited. I had to text all my friends right then to talk about it. Then someone started calling me and...
Let's try that again.
I turned my phone off right away. I never drive distracted.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Evan Goyke, candidate for the City of Milwaukee City Attorney's Office. Evan, you and I were texting yesterday because with every campaign that I've ever known someone that's running, there is always what I'm going to call the yard sign controversy.
It's true that yard signs don't vote.
Yes.
But there is deep, deep psychological warfare with right. Yard signs.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
Former state senator and majority leader in the state Senate, Dale Schultz.
Legislators aren't doing their job. But what I would ask all the listeners is, have you taken stock in your legislator? Do they really deserve to be there? Do they really want to be there in a polite way? Ask them to come and share a vision, listen to you, and say we want regular communication. And I think if we do that, the system will serve us very well.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. Keeping Racine and Kenosha connected. 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM WRJN. And on the Civic Media app.
Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
She's sweeter than a glass of chocolate milk and louder than a morning rooster. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Hoping that Katie Burgess, one of our dairy broker analysts with EverAg, can keep tempo with the show this morning. She's going to be joining us live in about 10 minutes or so, focusing in on what's happening with the marketplace. And I've got to believe that story about North Carolina being the latest state to detect high-path avian influenza in their dairy population might be something traders are talking about. We'll find out. Katie Burgess on the way. Morning again, everybody. Welcome back. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke. Today is the chance for rain. Again, our rainfall reporters, please make sure you're letting me know how much ends up in your rain gauge. Doesn't look like it's going to be a lot, quarter to a half an inch, maybe a little bit more towards the lakeshore. Again, daytime highs today around 59 degrees. Tomorrow is the one that's going to catch you by surprise. We'll only reach 57 as a high on Friday. It's the winds that you're going to have to be aware of out of the northwest, gusting up to 40 miles an hour. So kind of plan for that mentally, if not physically, for your Friday. So today is the 11th day of April. What can I tell you? Well, talking about weather, on this day back in 1965, six tornadoes were part of a Palm Sunday outbreak, went across southern Wisconsin, killed three people, and injured 65. The outbreak of 51 tornadoes was responsible for 260 deaths, over $200 million in damages throughout Wisconsin, Indiana, Michigan, and Ohio. The Palm Sunday tornadoes across the southern portion of Wisconsin on this day back in 1965. On this day in 1970, Apollo 13 launched. Now, remember, this is the one that they made the movie about because it ended up having technical problems in mid-flight. An oxygen tank exploded, and they essentially had to stop their mission immediately and try to get back to the United States, back to Earth. Jim Lovell, who graduated from high school in Milwaukee and went to UW-Madison, was one of those astronauts on Apollo 13. And now you know. Let's focus in just a little bit more on the weather that's coming our way. Like I said, gusting winds up to 40 miles an hour. That can cause damage. If you've got outbuildings, barns, garages, whatever it may be, you've got to keep an eye on those things when severe weather rolls into the area. But what do you do if you suffer damage to your buildings after a storm event? Fellow farm broadcaster Chad Smith has more.
Jeremiah Fairbanks, service manager at Morton Buildings, says farmers can prepare for the risk of weather damage to their buildings.
When it comes to damage, high winds and hail are the most damaging spring weather events that we see. Damage can range from minor cosmetic issues such as dents or broken windows to major structural problems that result from impact that could also end in leaks, broken trusses, or broken columns.
Following a severe storm, Fairbanks says farmers need to inspect their property for damage, but do so with safety in mind.
If the damage is too severe, do not enter the building. Don't climb on the roof. Consult a professional. If there's any doubt, don't get around the building. Walk around the buildings to assess the damage. Documentation is key. You want to make sure that you can differentiate from one storm to the next storm, so taking good pictures is a great practice. Look first to serious structural damage that might make the building vulnerable. Then next, go to leaks. Look for anything that may damage what's stored inside. And finally, look for cosmetic issues.
He offers some important insurance recommendations both before and after a storm.
It's always important to know your coverage before a storm, what type of damage is covered, what the dollar amounts are. Prior to a storm, periodically check with your insurance agent to make sure your coverage has kept up with the valuation cycles over the years as materials and building costs increased.
Fairbanks also emphasizes consulting a professional when you have damage.
Once a storm happens, make sure you consult a professional that has extensive experience with building repairs to help you develop the scope of what needs fixed. Find a builder that's familiar with post frame or barn construction. After a storm, it's always a good practice to have your builder and your insurance adjuster on site at the same time if possible, so they can work out a scope and a cost of repairs together, because there may be differences of perspectives, but on site together they can collaborate to get the best plan of attack for correcting the building issues.
For more information about storm repairs for post frame buildings, visit MortonBuildings.com. Chad Smith reporting.
Being prepared, always a good idea. Thanks, Chad. Coming up next, it looks like Wisconsin stepping up with a little bit more financial support for our county fairs. I talked about that with Wisconsin Senator Joan Bolwig and Katie Burgess, broker analyst with Everag, just around the corner. The mild weather we enjoyed in Wisconsin could add up to big pest problems for our crops this year. Steve Bailey is in Monroe, one of the Helena Agra advisors.
One thing I would challenge guys to think of, and a little bit of conversations I've been having this last month, is we didn't get a killing frost. And what I mean by that is a lot of these rootworm beetles didn't have that frost to really nip them off. So I would challenge everybody that's listening today, make sure that if you're corn on corn, you're running a traded corn and or maybe a granular insecticide, or if you have in-furrow starter, there's options there too. But I think guys are really going to want to take a very close look to their fields and follow the insect pressure that we're going to have this year.
Rootworms, just one of the insects to keep an eye on, according to Steve Bailey from Monroe, one of the Helena Agra reps. You can find out more and find your local Helena rep at helenaagri.com. Katie Burgess from EverAg is on the way in just a moment, and so is your chance to pick up a four-pack of tickets to the Midwest Horse Fair. Midwest Horse Fair, of course, happening at the Alliant Energy Center grounds in Madison next weekend, April 19th through the 21st, and I'm going to give you a chance to win not just today, but also tomorrow. Stand by and find out how you can get those tickets in just moments. Well, some good news from the state capitol for our county fairs. Wisconsin Senator Joan Bolwig from Marcus Ann, who is the chair of the Senate Agriculture Committee, says they are stepping up with some financial support for counties that were otherwise stretched to try to pay premiums for exhibitors that were involved in their county fairs.
At the bill signing, we had one of the directors of the Elroy Fair brought their granddaughter along. I mean, this is something that these people who... most of what they're doing is volunteer work. They're just really excited that this is going to give them a little more breathing room and assurance that the folks that are coming to their fair are going to get that a lot of that premium from the state. So now they can make some of that investment in the fair itself without the responsibility and what they feel is the responsibility to provide premiums and encourage people to come to their fairs.
Wisconsin Senator Joan Bolwig from Marcus Ann there, she said that the monies that the state will be supplying for county fairs are really designed for counties that may have more than one fair. She cited Columbia County, where they've got the Lodi Agricultural Fair, as well as the Columbia County Fair in Portage. She said those folks were almost being penalized because they had more opportunities for youth. This should help to offset some of the additional expense on premiums specific paid to exhibitors. So hopefully some good news for our county fairs out there. Markets this morning not giving us a lot of good news. We'll talk more about that with Katie Burgess in just a moment. Right now, December corn is up 3 in Chicago at 473. November soybeans, they're down 3 at 1166. July wheat down 2 right now, 571 a bushel. Yesterday in Chicago, the barrel cheese dropped a quarter of a cent to 156. 40-pound block cheese was unchanged at 157. Double A butter down 4 at 293 a pound. The Class 3 milk for May is down 6 at $16.60 a hundredweight. The Class 3 milk for June, remember, Class 3 milk goes into cheese, down 12, currently at $17.07 a hundredweight. Up next, our friend Katie Burgess from EverAg and your chance to pick up those tickets to the 2024 Midwest Horse Fair happening next weekend at the Alliant Energy Center ground. Stick around for your chance.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Originally the home of the Milwaukee Braves, now your home for the Milwaukee Brewers.
1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN. Earl Ingram.
So let's talk a little bit about what public education did to move this nation forward and continues to do, even though it's under assault.
The one place where we get to live out and practice what it means to be a citizen in a democratic institution. The attacks on public education are really attacks on democracy.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Todd and his regular guest, Trigvi Olson, were out and about with a simple theme. What makes Wisconsin great? For all the divisive topics and politics that we have on his show and on my show, we're doing that because we love living here. And we want to talk about the things that make Wisconsin great. And we did that over cheese curds and cold beer last night. Ooh. And I really appreciate Todd doing that.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings 6 till 8 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
What is dadication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dadication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Everybody, Todd Allbaugh, Thursday noon to 2, talking with Jeffrey Hoffman, converting the DeLorean to electric on Civic Media's Radio Network.
Home of the Don Rosen Morning Show, weekdays 6 till 8, 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
Two four-packs of tickets for one-day admissions to the Midwest Horse Fair. And I'll tell you what, I'm going to award those to the fourth and fifth people that use our talk text line. Now, I need your mailing address so that I can get these in the mail to you right away today. So the talk text line is 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. You can call it or you can text it. But I need your full mailing address as well as your name if you want to be qualified for a four-pack of tickets to the Midwest Horse Fair starting next Friday, Alliant Energy Center grounds. And I'll have more tickets for you tomorrow, too, if you miss out today. We do not ever miss when we welcome in Katie Burgess, one of the broker analysts with EverAg, joining us on a bright and shiny Thursday morning. Thanks for stepping in, Katie. Let's jump right into it. I think our Wisconsin dairy producers are continuing to feel increased financial pressure and strain because we just have not seen much movement as far as our dairy product. We get the prices down to what we think are attractive levels, still no sales. You say that's starting to change a little bit as far as cheese, huh?
Yeah, thankfully, over the past week or so, we did see cheese prices start to move higher. They kind of sputtered out yesterday, but thankfully, the prices are off the lows. That being said, we're off of really low levels, so we went from really bad to just kind of poor levels. We're not at anything exciting yet in terms of what it means for revenue back to dairy producers, but at least we have been moving in the right direction.
So where is the cheese going, Katie?
Yeah, Yeah, we did see second highest levels on record of cheese getting exported in February. It was record levels sent to Mexico. So luckily, one of the countries in the world that has still been buying a lot of cheese is our next door neighbor to the south. Other places, though, we're having to compete with exports coming out of Europe or exports coming out of New Zealand. And so I think that's why our prices have seen such low values here over the past 12 months, is that because there's so much competition in the global stage, U.S. prices need to go to pretty low levels in order to win the business. It seems like now that... Oh, go ahead, Pam.
Well, I was just going to say, is it freight? Is it the strength of the dollar? I mean, my Lord, we were the bottom feeders as far as price that we were offering already. Are there other elements we're not thinking about, Katie?
Yeah, to me, I think those things matter. The other one that I'm watching carefully is just how consumers in other parts of the world are dealing with inflation. So similar to how consumers here have been paying more for groceries, gas, labor, all sorts of things like that are more expensive here in the U.S. That's even worse, especially in places like Southeast Asia, where they've had to pay more for their primary grain food staples. And so because of that, it just doesn't leave that much room in the budget for dairy. And so consumers, they've only been willing to buy dairy products at relatively low prices. And that really has hurt global prices for dairy producers worldwide.
Katie Burgess is along with us, one of the broker analysts with the EverAg team. I always want to remind you to check out their website if you want to consult with any of them or ask them questions on what's happening. They're great at risk management, not just about dairy, but the entire scope of commodities you're producing. That's ever.ag. Katie, let's talk just a little bit more. You mentioned about disposable income, consumers, et cetera. I think a lot of the dairy industry also paying attention to some revised plans that USDA is talking about on dietary guidelines, and it's not friendly dairy either.
No, USDA announced this week that for the WIC program, so that's for women, infant, and children, it's money that goes to new mothers. They're cutting back the amount of money they're going to put into the dairy allocation. So again, you know, anytime we see any of those USDA programs giving less funding for dairy, that makes us a little bit concerned. USDA says they don't think it will hurt consumption that much because there had been a lot of dairy money in there and it wasn't all getting used. So hopefully that's the case, but I know as an industry, we don't like to see it when benefits are getting pulled back on the amount that people can spend on dairy.
I don't like the idea that people that could spend money on dairy aren't using it for dairy either. Katie, let's talk just a little bit more then about, like we said, consumer patterns. The other thing that our Wisconsin dairy producers have to be mindful of is we've got some major, major cheese processing facilities coming online, not the least of which is the one in Dodge City, Kansas. They're just monster. Is that going to be a paradigm shift that our Wisconsin dairy cooperatives, cheesemakers have to pay attention to?
I think so. It's been a long time since we've seen this much of an influx of cheese processing capacity coming into the system. And so because of that, our view is that class three milk prices, so those milk prices paid to farmers that milk is used to make cheese, they've been lower than the prices for butter and powder here for a while now. And we expect that to continue because there's just going to be a lot of cheese out there in the next 12 to 18 months, and we need to find people who are going to eat it, whether that's domestic consumers or international customers, but we're going to have a lot of cheese to sell.
Have you heard anything on that Dodge City plant? I know the volume compared to milk being produced in that region doesn't equal out. Are they starting to find some resolution there?
I don't think they are yet. Just the way milk prices have been, I don't think any dairy farmers are really excited about going out and spending money to build a big new barn. So that remains to be seen. But I have seen that cheese plant has got job postings listed. So they're going to be ready to roll sooner rather than not. So it does seem like milk could tighten up in that region quite a bit.
Katie,
maybe that puts some more premiums back in the market for everyone.
Fingers crossed. Katie Burgess along with us. The other thing we can't forget to remind folks about, what is it? Dairy margin coverage application deadline at the end of the month if you haven't already capitalized on that.
That's right. We definitely recommend folks we work with to go ahead, sign up for that program for the 950 margin coverage on any tier one volume you're eligible for.
Yeah, because it's paid since January every month, hasn't it?
It has. The January and February payments are going to cover about half the cost of signing up. And when you look back at history, it has a pretty good track record. So good to have that in place, because we don't know where prices are going to go this year for sure. So that way you're protected if they do stay low.
Excellent content, Katie. I appreciate it as always. I'm sure we'll bump into you down the road here in the next couple of weeks. All right.
Thanks, Sam.
Katie Burgess, sweetheart, to join us at such an early hour. She's a mom herself. We appreciate it. Ever.ag is how you're going to be able to find her or any of the Ever.ag crew. Like I said, if it's something that you're trying to work out as far as risk management, they are the kinds of folks that you want to tap into when it comes to plans and strategies in light of what looks to be continuing agony for our dairy industry, specifically that cheese industry. Again, if you hadn't tried it yet, Midwest Horse Fair tickets available. I've got 2 4-packs today. I'll have 3 4-packs tomorrow. But you've got to use our talk text line to qualify. I need your full mailing address as well as your name. That's 877-301-FARM. 877-301-3276. Don't worry. All I use that information for is to pick the winners and get the tickets in the mail. Catch up with you tomorrow morning with more tickets.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Don Rosen in the morning and your home for the Packers. 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM WRJN.
In the fight against hunger, women farmers could move the needle if they had a little help. That's next on Farm to Fork. If you're ready to try a highly effective microbial soil inoculant, then Rizol from ProGrow Bio should be your first choice. Rizol offers multiple benefits like enhanced biomass, bigger yields, and improved soil health. 100% organic and works with conventional or organic crops, and comes in a soluble dry form for easy handling and long shelf life. Search the web for RHIZOL from ProGrow Bio.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
In this International Year of the Woman Farmer, a global hunger initiative known as Feed the Future is advocating on behalf of women farmers globally. It's a mix of governments, nonprofits, and private enterprise. Dina Esposito works for USAID, a government agency, and with Feed the Future.
In the last decade, where Feed the Future has worked, we see poverty, hunger, and child stunting declining by 20 to 25%. Children's diets improved, clear evidence on women's empowerment through access to resources and household decision-making. All of this in spite of the shocks and stresses and in spite of a growing population.
Esposito referred to a couple of recent reports from the United Nations showing how men and women farmers are treated differently.
The data is not just interesting and compelling, but it should make us all mad. I mean, really mad. Let's get a little bit under our skin to commit ourselves to say, this is not just the right thing to do, it's the smart thing to do. 45 million fewer people would not be hungry if women had just the same access to resources as men in the agri-food system. Not more, just the same.
More tomorrow. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
As
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this civic media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of civic media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
The Todd Alba Show.
Who do you want making the decisions for your daughters if you're a girl dad? I have two girls, 14 and 12, and I still consider myself pro-life. But here's the thing. I became a conservative because I didn't want government telling me what to do and being intrusive in my life. Mm-hmm. And I'll be damned if I want a bunch of theocrats getting in the middle of my daughter's life.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Matt and Air on Air.
So we're going to talk monarch butterflies and what we can do to help their habitat, because that's one of the biggest reasons why we're seeing our monarch population decrease. As Greg said, we know how much I loved winged fingers.
Winged fingers! That's the name of our band. Calvin, me, Jane, winged thingets.
The winged thingets.
Matt and Air on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you...
You're listening to WRJN and W260 CV Racine, W251 BU Kenosha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.